The second caliph of Islam, Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu. Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we welcome you once again in our new episode of our program, The Second Caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab, radiyallahu anhu. Dear viewers, from previous few episodes, we've been discussing about the unmatched knowledge of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab, radiyallahu anhu, and what greatness he had when it comes to the field of knowledge as well, and how many branches of knowledge he had expertise in. In fact, many branches of knowledge that we see flourishing today, where ulama, they acquire those branches of knowledge, many fundamental principles that have been established in those branches of knowledge, we come to know that it was none other than Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu, who had established those very principles that became guiding principles for the generations to come in order to acquire knowledge. Today again we will cover a few more perspectives of the blessed knowledge of Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiyallahu anhu and see his greatness from different perspectives or different branches of knowledge again. And he'll also in the beginning talk about the principles he laid down in order to deduce certain rulings from Quran, Hadith, and basically the principles he laid down for jurisprudence for fiqh. But before we delve into this topic of discussion today, dear viewers, let's first of all listen to a virtue of sending peace and salutations upon the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who is the source of our iman, who is our heartbeat, around whom our entire life should revolve. So there's a beautiful hadith before me mentioned in Sunan Ibn Majah, hadith number 907. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that the angels keep sending mercies upon a Muslim until he continues to recite Salat upon me. Now it is the person's choice whether he recites less or more. Allahu Akbar. Now in this very hadith, dear viewers, you can see that we've been told that a person remains under the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah keeps sending mercies upon a person for as long as he keeps sending salawat upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So now it is upon the person whether he recites more or less. In other words, it is upon the person whether he wants to attain more mercies of Allah Almighty or less mercies of Allah Almighty. As if he, for example, a person send salawat upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam for 26 minutes, for 41 minutes, for 63 minutes, whatever example you want to take. So for that amount of time, he will be under the mercy of Allah Almighty. The mercy of Allah Almighty will be showered upon for that duration of time. Now if he was to recite more, the mercy of Allah would be showered more upon him. And if he recites less, then obviously the mercy of Allah Almighty will be showered in accordance to the time he spends in sending salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So we should also ensure that we send salawat upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam as much as we can, so that we can also be under the shade of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Coming back to the topic of the day, viewers, we're talking about Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiyallahu anhu and certain some more branches of knowledge in which he held expertise. Some of them we covered in our previous episodes, but today we will continue this discussion and we will start with his expertise in the field of Usulul Fiqh, the principles of jurisprudence. Now we covered in our previous episodes that Farooq Azam radiyallahu anhu, he established fundamental principles in order to deduce rulings from Quran and Hadith, and how certain issues should be resolved in the light of Quran and Hadith. He formulated a great way for the Ummah to also follow in order to deduce certain rulings. Now, when we talk about the knowledge, the branch of knowledge of laying down the principles of jurisprudence, Usul al-Fiqh, this is again something in which Sayyidina Faruqi Azam radiallahu anhu was the Imam of it. Amir al-Mu'mineen Faruqi Azam radiallahu anhu is the one who founded this very branch of knowledge as well. He radiallahu anhu is the one who established these principles that how should we deduce rulings from Quran and Hadith and what principles should we follow. This is very, very important because for any person, if he wants to use Quran and Hadith to deduce certain rulings, there have to be certain principles, certain do's and don'ts that he needs to follow. And these do's and don'ts, these fundamental principles were laid down by Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Faruqi Azam radiyallahu anhu. And many, many books of fiqh, even today, talk about this and are present in today's day and age as well with these fundamental principles. All the four fiqhs, Hanafi, Shafi'i, Hanbali and Maliki, all of them, the rulings that are deduced through every single one school of thought, Hanafi, Shafi'i, Hanbali, Maliki, all of them, they use the same methodology, the same principles that were laid down by Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Faruqi Azam radiallahu anhu when it comes to deduced rulings from Quran and Hadith. So everyone is indebted to Faruqi Azam radiallahu anhu when it comes to learning and deducing rulings from Quran and Hadith. Now, dear viewers, there are four usul fiqh, there are four principles of jurisprudence, which is Quran, Hadith, Ijma' and Qiyas. And Sayyidina Faruqi Azam radiallahu anhu, he is the one who deduced or who formulated these four ways of usul fiqh, Quran, Hadith, Ijma' and Qiyas. And he radiallahu anhu also instructed those who were under him, the governors, the other people of authority who he had appointed at different places, he instructed them as well to follow these fundamental principles. Now, in this relation, whenever any ruling was to be deduced, any issue was to be resolved, then he radiallahu anhu would first of all refer to the Holy Quran. So from the Quran, he would try to resolve that very matter. The next stage would be that he would look through the sayings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. He would look for instructions in the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam for certain rulings. And then as a third step, what he would do is that he would gather fuqaha sahaba ikram alayhi wa ridwan, those sahaba who were at the station of being jurists. He would gather those prominent, those elite companions, those fuqaha companions, and he radiallahu anhu would seek their opinion regarding that very ruling. And then whatever the majority would decide, he radiallahu anhu would go with that. And if that particular ruling wasn't deduced or resolved through all these three stages, then he radiallahu anhu would perform qiyas, independent reasoning. And then he radiallahu anhu would present the ruling after deducing it through independent reasoning in front of the Sahaba. But dear viewers, in order to perform ijtihad, in order to perform qiyas, independent reasoning, one needs to be at that level. It is not that anyone can start performing qiyas after reading a couple of books. It's not this. This level a person attains after spending a lot of time, after gaining a lot of expertise in Islamic sciences. And the ulama of this caliber are not found often in today's day and age. So Faruqi Azam radiallahu anhu, he laid these principles that whenever any issue arises and it needs to be resolved, then first of all refer to the Quran. If the issue is not explicitly mentioned in the Quran, or the ruling ruling cannot be deduced from the Quran, then refer to the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Then he radiallahu anhu would go towards the sayings of the Sahaba. He would gather the Sahaba and seek their opinion, and then would be the last stage where he would perform qiyas, he would perform the independent reasoning. So these are the four stages, dear viewers, which Sayyidina Faruqi Azam radiallahu anhu established, the principles that he radiallahu anhu established, and also laid these foundations for even the generations to come, that these are those stages that you need to follow when you are to deduce any certain ruling. And all four school of thoughts, Hanafi, Shafi'i, Hanbali and Maliki, these are the steps that they also follow when it comes to deduce any ruling. So you can say that the fountainhead, the source for all these school of thoughts, they all go back to, link back to Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, who laid these principles for all of us. And it wasn't only that he radiallahu anhu would practice himself over these principles, but he would also instruct others, teach others, other sahaba, other people to also follow these principles. As he radiallahu anhu once wrote to Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, in which he stated that, understand this properly, that the ruling that you are unable to find in Quran and Hadith openly, a ruling, an issue regarding which you do not find an explicit ruling in the Quran and Hadith, then ponder upon it. Ponder upon that very ruling, contemplate it, reflect upon it greatly and deeply, and then you should perform independent reasoning, qiyas, over different aspects of it, and then rely upon that very opinion that is closest and most truthful in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, Sayyidina Amirul Mu'mineen Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu is advising Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu over here that how should he go about a certain ruling. If he wants to deduce a ruling, then first he should refer to the Quran, then Hadith, and the last stage then he mentions that perform qiyas, independent reasoning, and then even in that, once you've contemplated, once you've reflected deeply upon that ruling and you've applied all your knowledge of Quran, of Hadith, of the sayings of the Sahaba, everything, then stick to the opinion which is most closest in the court of Allah and which is most closest to be the truth. So dear viewers of Madani Channel, this is again a remarkable favor of Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu that he did upon this ummah by establishing these principles, by giving the ummah these principles as to how should the ummah go about deducing certain rulings. And all four school of thoughts, they link back to these very principles of Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu. In other words, all four school of thoughts, they go back in the court of Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu in order to seek Shari'i guidance. Subhanallah. Moving forward, when we talk about more branches of knowledge that Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu had expertise in, we find that the knowledge for being a qazi, this is also something that he radiallahu anhu possessed greatly and duly. And this is a branch of knowledge, dear viewers, that not everyone possesses it. Now, he radiallahu anhu, he had all the conditions that are needed for a person to be a qazi. Qazi is an Islamic judge, but there are very strict conditions for a person to meet in order to be a qazi. Now, Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, he duly met all the conditions to be a qazi. In fact, that wasn't only the case, but many students of Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, those who were taught by Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, who were brought up by Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, they were also at such a station of knowledge that even they were able to perform this very task duly, who themselves could also become qadi. So you can imagine that when this is the state of the students of Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, then what would be the state of the teacher of Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu himself? So he radiallahu anhu, he had all the conditions to meet in order to become a competent and greatest of the qazi. Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu is included amongst the greatest of the qudha, greatest of the qazis of this ummah. Sayyidina Ali bin Madini rahimahullah states that there have been only four qazis in this ummah. Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Mawla Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, Sayyidina Zaid bin Sabit radiallahu anhu, and Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. So these four elite companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam are referred to as the only qazis of this ummah, signifying the fact that what great competencies they had in regards to this ever so important branch of knowledge, which not everyone has expertise in. So Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, he also had great expertise in this branch of knowledge as well. Moving forward, dear viewers, the knowledge of poetry, subhanallah. Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu also had in-depth knowledge of poetry as well. It is stated that Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, he was a great alim of the knowledge of poetry as well, and this is mentioned in many books of poetry as well. And it is stated that Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu himself, he wouldn't say many ashar, many couplets, but he radiallahu anhu, whilst he would be traveling, he would be reciting couplets in a very melodious voice. Thus Sayyidina Shaykh Ibrahim rahimahullah states that Amirul Mu'mineen Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu, and Abu Masood Ansari radiallahu anhu, all these personalities, they would recite couplets in a very melodious voice whilst they would be traveling. And Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu also had expertise in rectifying poetry, in rectifying couplets. So it is also stated, Ibn Rashiq has stated this in his book, that Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, he was the greatest personality during his era who had the expertise in rectifying poetry. He was the greatest personality in his era who had the expertise in rectifying poetry, subhanAllah. Now this again, dear viewers, is such a branch of knowledge which everyone does not have a grip upon. Now Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, subhanAllah, even in this very branch of knowledge, we see him to be an imam, we see him to be a leader, we see him to be as a guide, where he himself doesn't say much couplets, but yet the poetry that he comes across, he's the greatest personality during his era who could rectify the couplets. Another branch of knowledge, dear viewers, is the knowledge of kashf. When Allah Almighty grants this knowledge, a person can see the states or become aware of the states of the heart of the other person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants this knowledge to his chosen individuals. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he possessed this knowledge as well. But Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, subhanallah, when we talk about his knowledge of kashf, Allahu Akbar, that was something unmatched. And the knowledge of kashf that Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu possessed, that was also sadaqah of the knowledge of kashf that Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, he possessed. And many a time Sayyidina radiallahu anhu would become aware of the states of the hearts of other people as well. And in this regard, the dream of the fourth caliph of Islam, the Lion of Allah, Sayyidina Mawla Mushkil Kusha Ali al-Murtaza, Karram Allahu Ta'ala Wajhahu al-Kareem, is very famous, where he radiallahu anhu saw a dream, and very interesting account took place. And the next day, Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, he mentioned Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza, Karram Allahu Ta'ala Wajhahu al-Kareem, regarding the dream that he saw the last night. In fact, what Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu saw in the dream, Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, he practically performed it. Let's quickly listen to this account, inshallah, and look at the greatness of the knowledge of kashf that Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu possessed. This incident we mentioned in our previous episodes as well, but very quickly, inshallah, we'll go through it again in order to freshen up our memories with this beautiful account. So what happened once was that the fourth caliph of Islam, the Lion of Allah, Mawla Mushkil Kushia Ali al-Murtaza, Karram Allahu Ta'ala Wajhahu al-Kareem, he saw a dream one night where he sees that he performed Fajr Salah behind the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and after Fajr Salah, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam sat by the pulpit, leaning against the pulpit. Now all of a sudden, someone came with a tray of dates and placed it in front of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam picked up one date from it and said, Ya Aliyu ta'khudhu hazihi rataba, meaning, O Ali, would you eat the date? And he says that I respectfully replied, yes, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he placed that date inside my mouth. Then the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam picked up a second date and asked me the same thing, to which I replied in affirmative. So the Prophet ﷺ placed the second date in my mouth, as well. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu says that when I woke up, I was in the same state, and the date that the Prophet ﷺ had placed in my mouth, I could still feel its taste. Now he says that I performed wudu and I went to the masjid and I offered salah behind Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu. Now after the salah, Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu also sat leaning against the pulpit as the Prophet ﷺ sat against the pulpit in my dream. In the meanwhile, I just intended that I would relay the dream I saw last night to Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, that a woman came with a tray of dates in the court of Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu. So Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, he picked up one date and said to me that, "Oh Ali, would you eat this date?" And I replied that, "Yes, I would eat it." So he radiallahu anhu, he placed the date in my mouth. Then he radiallahu anhu picked up another date and asked me the same question, to which I replied in affirmative, and he radiallahu anhu placed that very date in my mouth again. Then Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu picked up the dates and he started to distribute them to the Sahaba alayhim ridwan. Now in my heart I desired to eat more dates. When Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, he looked at me and he said that, "Oh my brother, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam had given you more than two dates in the dream last night, then I would have also certainly given you more." Allahu Akbar. This is what Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, he says to Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he says that listening to this, I was astonished and said that whatever I saw in my dream last night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed about it to Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu. Now Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, he looked at me and he said that, "Oh Ali, a mu'min, a believer, sees from the noor of Allah." Allahu Akbar. To which Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem said that, I said to him that, "You've spoken the truth, O Amir al-Mu'mineen. This is exactly what I saw in my dream, and the taste that I felt from the dates that you gave me is the same taste that I felt from the dates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam gave me in my dream." Allahu Akbar. So dear viewers, we see the great knowledge of kashf that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given to Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, that he also came to know about the dream that Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem seen in the night time, and he practically performed the same action which Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem had seen in his dream. So this shows the greatness of Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu from the perspective of the knowledge of kashf that he possessed. Other than this, dear viewers, Ilmul Qiyafa. This is a branch of knowledge, dear viewers, where there are two things, and a person becomes aware of the second thing by knowing about a bit of detail about the first thing. So there would be two things, for example, father and son, for example, and just by knowing a little bit about, let's say, father, the person would know that the other person is his son, without it being revealed to him. So this is known as Ilmul Qiyafa. And Amirul Mu'mineen Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu also had great knowledge regarding this as well. Once a person came in the court of Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, said salam to him, and Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu replied to him and then asked him that, "Are you related to the people of Najran?" And he said, "No." But Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu said, "No, you surely are." But he denied again, to which Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu said, "By Allah, you surely are." Now the narrator, he says that every Muslim knew that that very person is related to the people of Najran. Therefore, one person, he clarified the situation for Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, and he said, "O Amir al-Mu'mineen, there was relationship between him and the people of Najran, but prior to this very account." Now Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, he said that, "You leave it, don't tell us. Don't, meaning you leave it, don't tell me. I would find out about this, I would come to know about this through other signs." Subhanallah. Now this is a branch of knowledge which we mentioned earlier, that you come to know about something through a little bit of information about a second thing. And this was also reflected through another account which Sayyidina Shurayh rahmatullah alayh narrates, where he says that once a person with long hair, tall in height, and he was quite wide in his physical appearance, He passed by Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu. And then behind him, another person passed who had small hair and who was weak and who wasn't as built as the first person. Now Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, he said regarding both the people that both of them are brothers. And when it was inquired about them, then they actually were brothers. So dear viewers, today we've covered different branches of knowledge in which Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu had great expertise, and where we see him to be our imam, to be our guide. And we've also seen that all four schools of thoughts, they also go back, link back to Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, which again shows us that what great personality Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu was. And the knowledge that we have today, the certain rulings that that have been derived for us, that have been told to us, many issues that we come across and the answers for them that we get, we come to know that it is a great, great, great favor of Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu upon this ummah, to whom we all are indebted. And Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, the principles that he laid down for the ummah, it has made it very easy for us to understand the religion, to deduce rulings from Quran and Hadith. And what he did, this very noble task of establishing principles in order to deduce rulings, this was not possible for every single person. It was only someone like Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu who could have performed this noble task, through which the generations, the upcoming generations up until the Day of Judgment would benefit. It was only someone like Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu who could have done it, who could have laid such fundamental principles of knowledge of Usul al-Fiqh for the upcoming generations until the Day of Judgment, through which the entire Ummah could benefit and deduce rulings from Quran and Hadith, and could see that how can they take guidance from Quran and Hadith. It is undoubtedly a great favor of Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu. Otherwise, it would have been very difficult for the Ummah to seek guidance from Quran and from Hadith, or perform Ijma' or Qiyas, or refer to the statements of Sahaba. So all these principles that we see that have been laid down today, that are established today, through which we deduce rulings from Quran, Hadith, rulings of Islam that we deduce today, it is thanks to Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, whom we are highly indebted to. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his mercy and blessings upon Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu and forgive us all without accountability for his sake. Ameen. Bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
The second caliph of Islam, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu.